Now, can you please explain to our listeners what a community service clause is and why businesses are starting to use them in their terms and conditions?
This particular community service clause was meant as a joke and a warning to people to be a bit more careful about what it is they agree to. So the situation was that, you know, when you go to a shopping mall, you want to use their Wi-Fi, and but to get connected, you have to sign up, you know, and agree to their terms and conditions. And, you know, the point is almost nobody actually reads those terms and conditions. And so this particular company inserted a, well, quite frankly, a bit of a joke saying, you know, if you agree, then you're liable to do 1,000 hours of community service, which could be anything from cleaning public toilets to picking up doggy doo in the park or something like that. And, you know, they were just making the point that, well, if you just click agree, well, what exactly are you agreeing to? It could be something, you know, a bit unpleasant.
I suppose the countenance for that for a lot of people would be often the terms and conditions that are being demanded of people to analyse and look through. You know, pages upon pages of fine digital text on a phone, or, you know, sometimes it's the particular wording of a contract that people feel like they just don't have time to do, especially when it's something as trivial as accessing a public Wi-Fi hotspot. It seems like for a lot of people that just seems almost ridiculous, the length of text that they have to endure. If they even wanted to read terms and conditions, surely that's got a role to play in why people don't read it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's worded as a legal contract, and really nobody but a lawyer would be able to understand it, at least not properly. And, you know, so they know full well that almost nobody is going to read these terms and conditions. But if you've agreed to it, then technically you are bound by whatever it is you've agreed to there. It's a contract. And, you know, people could find themselves potentially in a bit of bother if an unscrupulous provider inserted information in there that, you know, gave them access to information they had no right to have. You know, it's a situation that's open to abuse.
And, indeed. Just want to touch on particularly the involvement of third parties, and especially with Wi-Fi hotspots. And when agreeing to terms and conditions that say free Wi-Fi, is what we agree to ever actually free? I mean, without reading these terms and conditions, we are often giving away rather private information to companies that aren't even the ones of the Wi-Fi hotspots we might be connecting to.
Yes. Well, you know, if you take a shopping centre and well, at the very least, they get your email address or whatever email address you've entered. I'm sure lots of people enter bogus email addresses into those fields. But, you know, let's say somebody has put their email in. At least they've got that. And you'd probably find yourself on a mailing list after that. You know, you'd be getting unsolicited messages saying, come to the shops and shop here and buy this and do that. And, you know, so there'd be that. Unless you tell them more about yourself, there's not a lot more they're going to know about you, the individual who's signed up. I think really what it is they're looking to just, you know, build up a mailing list that they can market the shopping centre or whoever it is.
Okay, and have the Australian, we were speaking earlier about the idea of complex text and the actual language being used is quite hard to decipher. Have the Australian consumer law intervened when they deemed contracts to be too complex?
Yes, that's a question I'm not 100% sure about, but what I do know is that this whole area is a bit of a grey area. There is concern in the legal profession that some of these contracts are going to be very hard to actually enforce because they are too complex and it's not reasonable to expect people to, you know, read it and understand it in the situation they're in. But as far as I know, there is nothing sort of from official governmental point of view happening to simplify this. You know, I just really would say that the simple answer to this is to have a plain English disclosure statement when you're signing up. You know, just a simple plain English statement to say, if you sign up, you're agreeing to receive the occasional email from us, that sort of thing. If they don't tell you that, then you don't really know what to expect. You don't have informed consent from the user. And really the point, you know, I was making in the article is that they really should be getting informed consent. They shouldn't just be getting consent. People need to know what it is they're letting themselves in for.
Of course. And do you feel like that is being done? Are there companies or organisations that are trying to actually create that middle ground of an informed consent?
Yeah, there are some. I mean, it's you know, I'd have to say that even though there's a situation right now that you have very complex terms and conditions, I haven't actually heard of anybody being really badly burned by it. It's kind of a situation where everybody just understands that you click agree and off you go. But the potential is there for it to be abused. But there are some pretty ethical companies out there who, you know, take all of that seriously, and they do actually try to give people, they do try to get informed consent rather than just consent. But that's not everybody, and there's still quite a few that sort of hide behind that, you know, well, you clicked agree, so you've agreed to this, and you're bound by the contract.
Of course. So looking at the other side of that ledger, you've got businesses or organisations that are facilitating, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots, whatever, things that people can connect to. Let's look at the actual individual connector, if we can, which is how are they obliged to follow through on what they agree to?
Let's say a person goes down to the local shops and you know, I think basically what they're agreeing to is that they're not going to use that Wi-Fi for some kind of illegal purpose. You know, the shopping centre wants to protect itself. So let's say somebody starts torrenting, you know, Game of Thrones or something, and the licensee is on the job and is tracking down who's actually doing this. Well, if it was Westfield that was found to be doing it, then Westfield is going to be liable to some degree. You know, it'll be the person who signed in, but they may not have used their actual email. So in the absence of who exactly did it, then the shopping centre bears some liability. So, you know, it's really to prevent people from abusing the Wi-Fi. If they don't abuse it, then there's really not going to be any consequences to it at all. So really, it's a bit of a two-way street. The people have to protect themselves, but the user also needs to do the right thing themselves.